A crossover is...
Crossover dribble.
Sing for the crossover.
Kyrie Irving. Crossover in the lane.
One of the most famous crossovers of all time.
Behind the back, an ankle breaker on Chris Paul.
Crossover.
Crossover.
Crossover. Double crossover.
The crossover continues to evolve.
Crossover. The crossover is sponsored by William Hill, Caesar Sports.
Show
you.
Featuring Mike Neville.
It's a football Friday, baby.
Football Friday fiesta on all day long, actually, all the way through 6 o'clock.
Boomer Sooner, Boomer Sooner.
Quick story: I'm at Houston Oilers training camp. Okay, this is years ago.
Houston Oilers.
And all of a sudden, you start hearing someone singing that song, this Boomer Sooner song. And driving by on a golf cart is Spencer Tillman, hanging off the back of it, singing the Boomer Sooner song.
It's a pretty stupid
song. Just driving around with it, and people are throwing stuff at him. So then he leaves. About 20 minutes later, here he comes again. Same thing, just driving people crazy. But you know what? If you want him not to play it, just beat him.
Let's just be honest. They do play that song a little much.
They don't play it as much as the roar at Penn State, the fight on little thing they do at USC. I don't think they play it as much as either one of those, because those are every single break.
Another place where they play a song a lot, so the first Florida State game I went to that was not like Nebraska related, all the time.
All the time, yeah. Not if they're losing, though. Yeah, Boomer Sooner. Hey, Damon, how many times you lose to Oklahoma?
Zero.
Zero, bitch!
Hey, you know what you have in common with Turner Gill, Irving Fryer, and Mike Rozier?
They didn't lose either.
And Barry Switzer dubbed them the triplets.
Yes, he did. From 1959 through today, there have been a lot of big games in this series. This is not one of them.
Well, I just want to be sitting there at the half thinking,
got a chance?
Please.
Got a chance?
Please.
Thinking about chance.
They got this thing to one score, man. Let's go to work. And then see if I'm going to be pissed over the third quarter again. That's
Would you feel good if you were like, so Lincoln Southeast scores at the end of the half to make it 20-7? If it was 20-7, you had to
do
score.
Do I strike you as a moral victory kind of guy?
I'm just saying, would you feel okay about the second? I'd be like, okay, I feel okay. Okay.
Yeah, right. Everything about me says, hey, I'm a total house money, nothing to lose, just hang in there. And he went there, and
what do you think about it,
Gary? Was very sad to hear him say, we've got a lot to gain and very little to lose.
What do you think?
I was like, Scott, can we, like, let's not say that out loud.
What do you think?
Of him, that comment?
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of a lost guy right now.
Is it a me? Listen, I'll be honest with myself. If you guys tell me I make too much of that, because you guys both know that's definitely my thing. I just don't like that sentiment. Is that too myopic? Am I being naive?
There is a lot to gain anytime you play a football game, especially against a top five team. There's always a ton to lose because of what it can do to you. Ask Miami.
You know how that draws my ire when people say that.
So, you know what? I think you can say that like in year one or year two. But there's enough of a size and a sample size, I should say, and you're trending. I don't know in year four you can say that because there – or maybe he's – you know what? There isn't a lot to lose because we've already lost a lot.
Wow.
I don't know. They're on a stage. You don't get these opportunities very often
know,
to be on
I
a
know.
Stage. And there are very few people that are picking them at all.
To do anything. To even cover. You can't find people picking them
but
to
But you
cover.
Know what? Is it out of the realm of possibility that Nebraska could go to Norman tomorrow, still get beat, but yet play a really good football game?
You're like, talking about like, week one last year.
Like just
right?
You want me to say something?
You can't so you show up and you don't beat yourself.
If Nebraska plays like they're capable of playing tomorrow, there's not a snowball's chance in heck Oklahoma covers. I'm just going to tell you that.
And there's probably we could live with that part. If you go to Norman.
If Nebraska plays the way Nebraska's capable of playing, Oklahoma doesn't even come close to covering.
So you go there and you don't have an abundance of negative plays. You don't beat yourself. you look like you're well coached, that you have a plan, that when things go sideways, you don't follow the follow suit. And you lost the game because that is a national championship team on the other side of the field that has more Jimmys and Joes than you do, and they just won a football game straight up. But you were competitive.
You're talking week one last year.
A little bit.
If it's like the Ohio State game.
But then you know what happened.
Yeah.
Middle eight. And
yep.
Adversity hit. And
right.
You followed suit. And that's the familiar theme. Is that's what I'm looking for tomorrow. If you're trying to sell me progress, you play a clean game. You looked well prepared, well coached. But I think more importantly, when things go south, do you go south with them? Or do you say, not today, fellas. And somebody makes a play, or somebody makes a play call, or somebody puts together a drive on offense or defense or on special teams where you say, that's not happening anymore. And then you do it again. So we can all go, okay. You know, because you're in the part right now where you're trying to sell progress. You're trying to sell, hey, week zero was an anomaly. We're going to move past that. The last 2 weeks, we've made progress. Poo-poo who we were playing. In our minds, we made progress in what we needed to do. Okay, so the next step of progress is don't let this game get out of hand if it has a chance to get out of hand.
Okay, so this is what's bugging me. And I hope to see something different on Saturday. I just don't know. I haven't liked any of the offensive press conferences all week. Monday sounded a little bit like a resignation. Verduzco does his thing shortly thereafter, which okay. I actually understand why he did what he did. So that didn't move my needle at all. But then I pitted against, and I better stop doing this, then I pitted against the defensive guys, and I was like, that's not that hard.
No, so here, I'm glad you brought that up, because I observed the same thing. If you just look at Oklahoma, you're more fearful.
My dude just cut me off.
But I'm going to let you finish here, but I'm going to add to something you said. If you're going to Oklahoma and you're looking at what Oklahoma does well, probably the defensive guys are the most uncomfortable. They're like, oh, boy.
But Nebraska's defensive guys?
But the defensive guys this week, their tone is more confident and excited to go play than the offensive guys, who if you say, all right, there's some injuries in the defensive backfield. Yeah, they got some dudes up front. Well, let's go. You know what? Hey, those defensive guys got to worry about Rattler. Let's go do our thing. It's a complete opposite vibe. But yeah. I think that's a vibe that is kind of Nebraska football right now, is the defensive guys feel real good about where they're at and where they're going.
Mm.
And they have a blueprint on how they want to get there.
Tell you what, I'm just reading this tweet from Javen Wright, which I take everything back I just said. No, I'm kidding. He said, maybe one day. I'll tell you all the story, ..
You know what?
I don't.
That happens way too often at the University of Nebraska
listen,
on social media. That happens too often.
I could not.
That happens all the time.
Agree
okay.
More.
Time out.
Not from my guy, though.
How
right?
Does that happen?
Because he knows
time
better.
Out.
He
time
knows
out.
Better.
Time out.
What does that happen?
Can you read it? When did he tweet this out?
4 minutes ago.
Oh,
great.
So he's not on the 85.
He's not going on the trip.
Maybe one day I'll tell you all the story.
Not going on the trip.
What do you think that means?
He's obviously not traveling.
Not traveling.
Which is fine. Just he's one of those guys that's grown up around the game. Like, he knows better. Mm-hmm. So the level of frustration must be at an all-time high. I don't know.
Gary, so listen.
He said Gary.
Let me ask you a question.
Gary?
So they played 7 ranked teams since Scott Frost has been here.
Yeah.
Now, how many did they win, obviously? You know it.
They've lost 12 straight.
How many points do you
teams?
Think they scored in those 7 games
Would you
on
stop?
Average in the first half?
Not much.
No.
8
just
points. I'm sorry. Well, I didn't know if he was going
to
answer.
What is wrong with
well,
your
Well, he
guys
said he didn't want
to
answer,
to
so I just said go. They scored 8 points, okay?
8.3 to be exact.
Yeah, 8.3 points. In those 7 games in the first half.
That's not easy to do. Score 8 points.
No, he's got to get a 2-point conversion. But
there's a guy in East Lansing.
There's 3 games where he scored 0.
And one in 1 year in a shortened season that has 2 top 15 wins.
Yeah, 215 last year. Yeah.
Listen, did you hear what I just told you?
I know, and you know where Nebraska plays next week?
Michigan State.
You got to tell me. I'm hoping Miami stomps a mud hole in them, and so they can't get out of the get out of their own.
That's not going to happen. But that's what I thought was the beginning of the season.
Hey, gangrene is running amok,
dude. I never liked that game to begin with. I hate it even more now.
I thought, yeah, maybe if Nebraska gets beat badly by Oklahoma,
at least Mel Tucker doesn't respect Nebraska. You could tell by what he said after the Colorado game. He thought they were soft.
Yeah.
He said, "We remember that? Mm-hmm. Remember the famous, that it drew my ire in the press conference. I'm King press conference, right? We knew that that's what they would do. We trained to be physical. We practiced that way. I'm like, what is he talking about?
Oklahoma doesn't respect Nebraska.
Well, yeah.
You know, have you heard the story? Because he put it on in his column. Guess what game Barry Trammell's covering tomorrow?
I don't know. Who's Tulsa
not
playing?
Not that Oklahoma State game.
Probably yes. Tulsa.
He's going to Boise.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, okay. That's a place you don't ever go.
So in his column, he was talking about that game.
Well,
and
then
go
Boise.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Boise beats him, but yeah.
So I've been on two different Oklahoma City radio programs this week. It's a good thing that we've kind of gone nostalgia around here. Because the impression I get is there is very little buzz for playing Nebraska this weekend.
Yeah.
And some people are actually upset at what Nebraska has done to this game. Not the whole garbage back in the spring, but that Nebraska is not at a level where this game is a mammoth.
Did you hear Ndamukong Suh?
I did not. I know he did a podcast with Le Batard. Was he excited?
You want to do the reenactment?
Was he excited?
Hang on. He's going to play it for you.
Is this the same? Before you play that, is this the same Ndamukong Suh that against Akron walked across the field and the rain stopped on opening night?
I remember that. Yeah, it did for a little bit. For a little bit it did.
Pretty much. Are you going to cue that up?
Then he went and sat in the weight room with the fellas?
You going to cue that up?
I am bringing it up. Can you calm yourself? It's not very easy.
Calm your nerves. Why?
Well, here, more head-scratching stuff. You want me to add to another one of that?
Mm.
So when teams come out for warm-ups tomorrow, and Oklahoma is having a monster recruiting weekend,
I bet.
They're loading up on prospects. How's Dominic Raiola going to feel?
Listen.
Go ahead, finish your sandwich.
Dominic Raiola is bringing his son to OU tomorrow.
Yeah.
The last time I saw Dominic Raiola in that stands, he was telling OU students behind what
they
the Nebraska
could,
bench
what they could do with
to
themselves.
Suck on these nuts. These nuts.
Here's this is Ndamukong Suh. He was on Dan Le Batard podcast, and they asked him this question.
These days, when you're watching Nebraska football,
Stugatz.
Disappointment, complete utter disappointment, and just how they've been focusing on not being a powerhouse. And to me, if I can. Ultimately, and I always try to be very, very truthful. It's unfortunate kind of how things have unfolded there. And I hope that things start to turn around, but I think there needs to be some changes potentially and find a way to kind of get back to the old way of doing pieces. And I think they've started to do some different things when they brought in a new AD recently. But yeah, Nebraska football has not been how I left it and how Levante David left it.
I mean, homie said changes.
Hey, how about this?
So what you're trying to say is that probably the off weekend for the Bucks.
Well, you asked the question about how you think guys feel.
Yeah.
I was just telling you.
And the funny thing is, it's not even the guys. There's certain guys that have always spoken, right? They get interviewed, people go and talk to them, and they're the ones. But there are people who aren't that, who are contacting you and saying, this is ridiculous.
All you need to know.
Off the radar, guys.
You read Hoskinson's sit down with Tom Chattel. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. So you don't have to ask that question.
Mike, I won't be here tomorrow.
Hey, man, I'm not doing Big Red Reaction by myself.
But listen, though. It's not. And having said all that, I'm still not resigning myself to the fact that they can't buck up. Take it on the chin. And see if they've got anything else left in the punching tank.
Here's where you're
going to have to survive early. You know this. Oklahoma's pissy. They're a little upset. They've been looking forward to this one. That's okay. That's how it goes.
That's 2 years Kansas State's beating this team.
That's how it goes.
Kansas State's beating this team.
Hang in there.
And come back.
And see what happens.
That would be one of the more disappointing things if they didn't.
You're bigger up front.
Yeah, Tulane came back. Can you hang in there? Kansas State came back.
Well, okay. So going back and looking how K-State has played them, yeah. K-State hangs in there for 60 minutes.
Yep.
Look at the game last year. Mm-hmm. You know, weird setup. The COVID, Rattler was new. But at one point, it was 35-14, and Kansas State yep. just kind of hung around.
Right.
And they didn't. They continued to run the football. They got a couple of big plays from Skylar Thompson. Mm-hmm. And they treated it as a full 60-minute game, not like when you're behind 35-14, they shut the clock off and they make you go home.
Yeah.
They like said, you know what, we're here to play 60 minutes of football.
Right.
And this is – so if you're looking for a crack in the door for something wild to happen tomorrow, Oklahoma, and they readily admit this, they will go through stretches where they have a hard time putting people away if the game stretches into the second half. Where it's still
I'm well
a two
aware.
Or three
I'm
touchdown.
With you. I'm with you.
It's interesting.
That's been Oklahoma's thing, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have not been a team that has stepped on throats. So if you're Nebraska, I'm imploring you, hang in there. Just see what happens. It's just my personality, man. Like, you got another one in the chamber, I'm going to make you have to fire that thing. It's how you got to play it. It's not tough talk. It's not coaches talk. It's just how it's always gone for the last 35 years of my life, yep. right? That's what I believe works.
I'm down
Hang
with you.
In there.
I'm down with you, but sometimes.
Are you down with OPP?
I'm down with DB. I'm down with you, and you know I am for the most part, but you know sometimes flight isn't a bad thing.
No, man, fight.
You can stand there and fight and get your ass kicked if you want.
Sometimes
you got to run.
Most time, 99% of the time, that's all being tough
hey,
is.
Sometimes you got
to
run.
He's willing to take an ass whooping. And you may not get it.
Can you?
I don't love Oklahoma like that. They're good. They're not great right now. You going to let them be great tomorrow? Keep them being who they have been.
I like this. I like this version of you. You're like going into coach speak here.
That's just
how come you're hanging out in Omaha? How come you're not going to Norman?
Because I can't play dead.
Can you guys educate me real quick here? We were just talking about quick starts.
Although, that's a terrible saying because it is hard to play dead. You know how perfect you got to be?
Oh, but if you have like a bear coming, you need to play dead.
Nah, man, your boy's going to panic and probably wet his pants.
You can do that because the pee will cover up your smell.
Oh, and
you never, hey, so you
that's a fallacy.
Hey,
that's
so true.
They tell,
every
they tell
time
you that at Yellowstone.
Get ready
they
to die. I'm pretty sure everybody defecates.
They take you to the thing and they take you.
It's just a natural
when you die, yeah, because
it
releases
yeah.
the.
Hold on, there's a lot going on here. Let me answer some things.
I've been
so
to
is that why your mom says always have a clean pair of underwear because you never know?
Well,
they always say wear it in case you die so the person that finds you
who's going to put it on? Hey, put these on me.
No, I mean on your body. Always have a clean pair on your body.
Your mom never told you that?
No, my mom.
Don't go out with dirty underwear.
Yeah, like always wear a pair of clean underwear in case something happens.
Yeah, don't go out there with dirty underwear.
First of all, underwear is overrated in general. Second of all,
and when I do, it's always something creative.
I'm not really worried about that if I'm deceased.
I don't think when you're a little.
Oh my gosh, they found a little bear poking his head out. Big deal.
It's pretty creative.
Big deal. I probably was scared to death.
Oh my God, there's the Empire State Building. Welcome to so help me here in this little discussion about getting punched right away.
Yeah.
I was in Florida and I don't recall, I think I watched this game on DVR. What happened in 08? It was 28-0 in the first quarter. How'd that game get out of hand so quick?
So the first pass that Joe threw was a little quick screen.
Yeah.
They knew it was coming. He jumped in front of it, took it back for a touchdown.
Okay, so pick six there.
Next
seven
possession,
nothing.
Three and out. Oh. Oklahoma gets the ball, scores on, I think, three or four plays. There's also a long punt return that got him in to scoring position. I was sitting there watching it. It's kind of hazy, but I remember the beginning.
That's the last time Nebraska played Norman.
Yeah, I don't have any thoughts about
see,
that.
See, the 09 game was.
Oh, the game was, wow, what a slugfest.
I mean, 10-3.
Oh, my God. Well, you remember. 1 yard line, they go, hey, Cody, you go in there for this possession. Coming out from your own end zone. And Cody's like, this is where I get my chance? Yeah, 09 was crazy.
So there's all kinds of, from the Nebraska standpoint, of Oklahoma games you'll never get over. Man, I went earlier this week, I was watching the 2010 Big 12 championship game.
Why?
Because I was just reminiscing.
Like you remember
Pete Rock
that day?
And CO Smooth.
Do you remember the front row of the people laughing as they're watching Indiana basketball on their TV instead of watching the game? Do you remember that?
I remember the Rex Burkhead fumble up 17 love, and it was never the same. Of all people to fumble at that moment, yeah. Burkhead fumbles, and that game just flipped right away.
Katie bar the door.
Look at like through the history of this series.
Party's over, said the girl.
Of one play that flips an entire game.
Well, what flipped that game, you're talking about, you said the 2010?
Yeah.
So what flipped that game is the play call. Having Rex Burkhead throw the halfback pass to a quarterback who was still running on one ankle on a deep post. Who calls that? And then at the end of the half, you have an opportunity to run the ball, and they're like, no, let's just let Taylor go out there and throw willy-nilly, throws a pick in the end zone.
Taylor.
Right, look, you got to handle guys like Taylor. You have to handle them, right, so you don't get beat.
Mm. Are you talking from the Oklahoma perspective or Nebraska?
I'm talking about Nebraska. As a coach, you have to handle it. Yeah. You have to understand.
Well, Michael, let's have a discussion off here.
That well, I almost thought you were going in a little non-sex. Well.
You have to control. Sometimes you know what you got.
As little?
Yeah, a little.
Why don't you call him Lil?
Lil.
I get him. I've been
Lil John.
By the way, there's 10 famous babies. Lil John. Look them up.
Duh.
There's 10 of them.
The best of the bunch is Lil Baby.
There's one called Baby Mama. Baby Mama.
No.
There's one called Baby Mama.
Those are never easy to do.
There's 10 total.
Well, it depends on how many you have. I mean, if you can keep them in organized,
yeah, no,
maybe separated by a few years, you're
one,
good.
One is too many.
Wow.
One is too many.
Wow.
Right? Oh, yeah, that's right. Coop Neville's in the same boat. Sometimes it's
so you
just
got Dub Baby, Sada Baby, Young Baby Tate, Baby Keem, Bally Baby, Baby Mubba, Bada Baby.
Baba Booey.
That's what I thought it was at first.
It's just Dub Baby and Lil Baby. And it starts with Lil Baby.
So does Dub Baby and Lil Baby perform together?
No.
Are
well,
they separate?
They have. But
so
they're two completely different people.
Is this kind of like Psy the Cyclone and then Little Psy?
Well, they have Lil Baby at four.
Behind who?
Sada Baby.
False.
And then Dub Baby. And
false.
Then number one is Birdman, Brian Baby Williams.
Okay, I can see Birdman. They must be talking as a producer, too, because he doesn't really do much.
What happened to Baby Keem?
Baby Keem is at six.
Okay.
He left last year. How do they have
Lil Baby behind Dub Baby?
I didn't make the list, bro. Bali Baby's at five.
I don't know why
Baby Keem's at six.
I don't know why Baby Soda is not higher.
Baby Mudda is at seven.
Who's Baby's Mudda?
Young Baby Tate spelled
my mother
Y-U-N-G.
And my father.
And then
wow.
Bada Baby. And then number 10 coming in at 10, Sa Baby.
Hey. Why is there no Baby Soda?
Listen.
Have you not heard the song Gunpowder Smoking?
No, I have not.
I do. That makes me think of Jay Foreman.
It's a New Orleans group.
I don't like that.
Think I've ever asked him what he really meant, but you know what that makes me think of? I remember we were coming out to practice and we were getting ready to go through good on good, and Foreman was just acting reckless out there. And
is this recently or
no? This
like
is what,
last
yeah,
week.
This is what, and he always had these crazy lines. And he was one time he just was like, "Take off your safety and face me, gunpowder chowder for real." And we were like, and he like yelled it. He was like, "Take off your safety and face me, gunpowder chowder for real. You hear?" I was like, huh?
I heard you, but I didn't understand a thing you said.
And, you know, and he kind of did the little thing where he was taking off the safety, and I was like,
You going to shoot me out here?
What's wrong with this guy?
Hey.
But after knowing him now for, you know, 20-some-odd years, he's got some one-liners.
Hey, how great would that be if
the man that uttered the line, because people kept talking about Nebraska football when they were losing way, way, way a long time ago. Brother can't even go get his bread. You know what I mean? I can't even go to the grocery store. I was just like, what is wrong with this dude?
Right. But what if you had a player on the other side that all they did during the game was just recite rap lyrics just to mess with you? I'd be like, is this guy crazy?
That'd be pretty funny.
You'd ask one of his teammates, is that guy okay?
Is that guy okay?
What if a guy went up the line of scrimmage, like you're an offensive lineman, and the nose guard looks at you and go, I'm going
to
shoot you.
But there's something to that, though.
I'm going to kidnap you. I'm going to kidnap your family, and I'm going to shoot you.
One of our coaches does
be like, oh, hey, I got to tap out.
He's like our mental approach guy. And Coach Marvek is his name, and he does Wizard Wednesdays. And on Wednesdays, we meet in the assembly room or in the lecture hall. And this week we were talking about, it has a term, but there's something about how you connect with music to get to optimum testosterone release when you're ready for performance. And it's either, it's like music, it's got a term. And he would play like just certain snippets of songs. And I'm telling you, it's instinctively, it immediately does something to you. That's why guys, a lot of times, warm up with music, because mm-hmm. it takes you to a place emotionally that you can't produce on your own.
I got it.
Whoa.
Music erection.
Oh, I'll tell you.
No.
Something. Hey.
Listen. Okay. I know you're laughing.
Music triapism.
But the
4 hours, baby. Go see a doctor.
Music that gets you fully hooked.
But the term that he uses is
swing.
It's called arousal.
Like if you were listening to Whoa from Lil Baby, you'd be like, party's about to start.
So just instinctively, he played a snip from Enter the Sandman.
And so you immediately were like ready to go play.
I got goosebumps.
Yeah.
I don't even, do you know why? Because they played that, obviously, when we were warming up. So the first, when specialists come out to take the field, and I'm catching punts and kickoffs, that song is playing. That song isn't even in my playlist.
Let me
but
read.
I hear it.
Here's the title.
And it does something to me.
Here's the title of the pilot study. Seriously, okay?
Is this for musical arousal?
Well, yes, considering I have to pre-record.
Influence of music on steroids, hormones, and the relationship between receptor polymorphism and musical ability. It is a pilot study done by a guy named Fuji and another guy, Kamoko.
This sounds like a good poll question. Which song makes you erect?
Bye.
But here, so how do
bye,
you explain?
Bye, baby.
For what you said, because you're absolutely right, Mr. Don Cornelius over there, is
soul.
Love and soul.
Hey,
just go play bigger picture and see if you don't get hype from Lil Baby.
No, but here, so how do you explain then? I absolutely agree with you. But then why does Nebraska play that Killigan song between the third and fourth
quarter? So
the one they picked.
I'm not even going to put it on blast. But there were some thoughts in the booth on Saturday when that song
they're trying to own something.
There's nothing that says, I will break you.
They're trying to own something. Dun, 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 they don't have it. They're looking for something. Remember they did the Clear My Throat for third?
Yes.
It was good.
Where's that?
That used to be great. In the third quarter, that's what they were doing. And it was all the student section.
Too many people were getting erect.
And then they didn't like it. And they went to this one instead. The Killigans or the whatever.
There's a difference between arousal and erection. Arousal
blood
can
flow.
Is there
mean
a distance difference?
Blood flow?
I'm talking to children. You guys make me so mad.
Take a drink.
It's not funny, Mike, because I'm trying.
No, that was funny.
I'm talking
somebody
about peak
right now
performance.
So do you guys put together your playlist off of what this mind coach talks about?
Yeah. Have you ever listened to our pregame music?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's legit.
Pretty good.
It's different from what you're going to get like at prep.
Yeah. Too loud. That dude told me from Omaha North. He goes, this is way too loud.
Hey, oh, no. Where's oh, hold on. You go to a North home game, music is loud.
It's so loud here.
Yeah. Remember, and I did the playlist, and they were so particular about what, even if you did edits, it was like. Yeah.
We have to go record like 17 things.
I know.
I got to go to Iowa.
Sharpie got me all fired up. It's fine.
Dun, 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 dun.
Anyway,
dun,
dun, dun, I'm gonna leave you with this. Just hang in there and see what happens.
I'm really hoping at one point.
Thanks for being my life coach.
I got you.
I'm hoping at one point that damn Sooner thing flips over. That's all I'm hoping for.
The scooter?
Flip
as long
over.
As nobody gets hurt.
Hey, didn't they have to make some adjustments to it?
Listen to this. Here's what happens. It's the corner that sorts them out.
Let the paramedics sort them out.
I want corners.
Body bags and toe tags.
What just happened here, Mike?
I hope the thing flips over.
Hey, you guys, no closure? You're just going to leave this
walking
out?
Mic drop.